Not so long ago, in a town too far away for some, the Break-Ins. Episode 40, An Empire is No More. In his last hope to free himself to make independent films, George Lucas has sold the rights of Star Wars to Disney. The news of this event caused a rift of emotions through fans around the world. In hopes to avoid a rebellion, Disney quickly announced there would in fact be an Episode 7. Now Bruce, Mike, and Justin have banded together to discuss the possibilities of what the House of Mouse will do to a galaxy so far away.
Yes, we are currently recording.
Well, that was a brilliant intro, Mike.
That was genius.
Thank you very much.
I think we're overselling it a little bit.
I agree, and you edited that well, Bruce.
I think you said Jorge's name wrong.
Jorge? George?
Lucas.
Jorge Lucas?
Jorge Lucas.
Are you trying to imply that Disney is exporting Star Wars down through their Mexican branch?
Yes.
Hello, I'm Jorge Lucas.
You have bought the Star Wars.
It's still in there. Why did you sound Indian just now?
Because you can't say Star Wars with a Latino accent.
I think you can.
Say it.
I don't know, but I could call my wife up.
Star Wars. Star Wars, you idiot.
Star Wars.
So it's all George Lopez doing it now.
No, that was Lopez.
It's
George Lopez.
Oh, will he be in the new Star Wars?
No,
I don't think.
Do we have a subtitle yet? Star Wars 7: Bongo Goes to College.
There's no subtitles. There's no nothing. It's all rumors and.
You think so?
I don't think it's a rumor. It's fact that there's going to be an Episode 7, isn't there?
I don't think it can be by 2015.
Oh, I think they're definitely overshooting that. Should we?
What?
Overshooting the earth.
Overshooting
no,
the
no,
moon?
No, that's not what I want to say.
It's the opposite of no. The analogy you wanted to make.
That's no moon.
Is it a space catastrophe? Is that what you're trying to say?
To some.
To some, Bruce, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's okay.
Don't like the prequels. Me and half the population.
Out of this house.
Of the world.
So.
50-50, that's a good split. I think that might be generous on your part as a 50-50 split, but. So yeah, that's pretty big news, I would say, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Yep.
I agree, it's a big deal. That's why we're here.
Well, it was Bruce's idea to do this podcast, I think. Wasn't it?
It was my idea to just do one this month.
Because we're supposed to do it.
Sneak it in right at the end of the month.
Yeah.
Last month. What we're going to do is going to be new news.
Yeah, and I was horribly sick.
Right, and Mike was...
I dead to the world.
I was free,
still.
I think.
You were Acapulco.
Acapulco, yes.
With Jorge Lucas.
We had a lot of fun.
Star Wars.
I didn't understand a word he said, but Liz tried to translate the best she could. Even so much Spanish she cannot handle.
Throwing out things like jarbink and okay, and I'm like, what?
He said something about smuggling a jarbink in, and I didn't know what that meant. I was a little concerned, so I left.
You're not going to jarbink?
Maybe like a harbink?
Harbink. Yeah, the J gets
that. Harbink. Harbink is. He's Harbink is, everybody.
I don't do a very good Latino accent.
We went from Jar Jar Binks being Jamaican to Mexican Indian-ish.
He's Harbink is.
And that's the East Indies, not the American Indies.
Now I want to find like a Spanish dubbed version of the prequels.
It's on every DVD copy.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
What do they call
it? Welcome to the 21st century.
I don't know, but it's really... I've never tried to watch the prequels in Spanish, but I did watch the beginning of A New Hope in Spanish. And just to hear Darth Vader with a Latino accent, he's not nearly as menacing.
Oh, I would think it'd make him sound more pimp.
No. He sounds like a pimp. I mean, look at that black robe and everything. His Death Star sitting on 20s and everything. He's good, man. 20 planets.
You switch the subtitles on, and all of a sudden, there's a mariachi band following him around.
Yeah.
Damn CGI.
Could you see at the beginning of Star Wars? way more Yaz fruit in it.
He's got a little castanets clicking around.
Salsa. I can't even go to Salsa de Star Wars. We're done.
Use the farce. Use the farce, Luke.
You know, I wanted to have, like, I was trying to figure out how to get on my phone. Just have a sound bite I could play when you guys get this way. Which would be, stay on target.
I don't get it.
No.
Yeah. We can insert it.
It's 4.5 minutes of sweetness right there, baby.
You're probably right.
It's a prequel to the actual podcast.
What do I know?
In some movies, they call that the money shot. We just gave them the money shot right up front. That's
episode
what we
39.5. We get confused.
So what are we talking about?
We're talking about Star Wars.
We're talking about Reagan's laser interception program.
Yes, that one.
Is that still in place, by the way?
What, Reagan? The money system? Yes,
right. No, the Star Wars program.
The money system?
Money. Equipment.
Uh-huh.
Do we still have space-bound lasers pointed at Russia?
Probably. You never know when the commies might just strike back.
Well, maybe it's North Koreans now.
Yeah, Romney. Those damn Russians. Once they get clubbing sorted out.
Hun will return.
What's that?
Attila
the Hun. I thought you said, and Han will return. Like...
Oh, in Star Wars reference.
Yeah.
We should talk about Star Wars.
Bring it back.
We're doing Star Wars?
Maybe.
We are not making Star Wars.
We should.
So, let's talk about characters returning.
Okay, that's fine. I like this. Breaking it down.
What characters would it make sense to return outside of
Anakin,
the droids?
Jar Jar Binks.
Well, clearly Jar Jar's.
Padme.
Padme, one with the Force now as like a hologram.
Did she do that at the end of the prequels?
No.
Good.
Did you not watch all of them?
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, brother.
The first one I saw in the theater with Ralphie.
And you hated it?
We both walked out of there just sad.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought there were some good parts.
You hush. This is my story. The second one I saw for free. The third one, a guy I worked with paid me $1 to watch it.
Huh.
I fell asleep during it.
Okay.
You haven't rewatched it since?
No. I've seen bits and pieces on TV. Hmm.
Okay, so who returns?
The droids.
Everybody says we, like, some of the stuff I've been reading online, they're like, we don't want the droids in it too much. It makes it too this, that, or the other. Like,
they're
like,
the string that ties all the stories together.
I know. It's like, you're talking about one guy who has literally done his part in every Star Wars thing ever.
You're talking about Anthony Daniels?
He has been in everything.
I thought him and Lucas were on the outs and that they'd replaced him.
No, he still does the voice.
He still does the voice.
He?
Yeah. That's his cash cow.
Yeah.
He is C-3PO. If you try to mimic C-3PO, I'm pretty sure you have to pay him a quarter.
I'm fine with that. I want the droids to be in it.
Okay. He's the only one that's been in.
Like,
I mean, he somewhat played 3PO in Phantom Menace. I mean, he was there on set.
Right, he did it. But
he's not capable of being in the suit anymore.
No, he was in the suit in 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Was he?
He wears a suit when he records the voice of Clone Wars.
Yeah.
He comes in.
God, that's awkward.
No, he's got to be 50s. He's not that.
No.
He's 60s, 70s.
Let's just say he was 20 in 1975. Okay.
Okay.
So in what would that be? 15 would be 40 years. So it'd be 60. We're just saying he's 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think that's lowballing it.
Right.
Could it end up for some reason, I didn't think he was doing the voice anymore.
Oh yeah.
Okay,
fine. I just found out they did the voice of Palpatine.
Whoa.
In Clone Wars. You remember Seinfeld, Elaine's boss, the one that had like the mustache. No, he didn't, like, he had a fake mustache, like the Hitler episode he's dead now, but he was doing the voice of the Emperor.
So you lowballed it, but not by much. He's 66.
Huh.
He's not that old. Like not as old as
26 then. Or?
You know, on Wikipedia, his occupation is listed as actor and mime artist.
Hmm.
That frightens me.
Like Doug Jones?
Yes, probably. I guess
he was
Abe Sapien.
Yeah.
But, so, can the three of us agree the droids?
Yeah, I hope so. In fact, it would be nice if they did three movies, and the last one ends with, like, maybe them telling the story of
all the Star Wars.
Because it ties
back to the first one where he said, I'm not much of a story.
I want it to end with them making sweet love.
3PO and R2.
In the sunset. No, I'm joking. Yeah, it would be nice if it ended with R2 showing a hologram. Of what happened,
but
telling the story to maybe the next generation, so that I don't know.
Can they get away with doing Star Wars: The Next Generation, or will there be like infringement rights on that one?
No, because there was Love Boat. That was the next wave, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's because they're on an ocean.
Yeah.
So there was Roots: The Next Generation,
the next
slaves
force?
In space. So
would it be in the next force?
That sounds a little rapish.
Star Wars: The Next Thrust.
Ooh. Now we just got sensual.
Apply more pleasure.
Stay on target.
I'm not even saying my joke.
Anyways, so we're saying Han, Luke, and Leia are supposed to be in this movie.
Well, I know that
they're kids,
he met with
Mark Hamill even said, and George Lucas said that he met with Mark and Carrie Fisher a year ago to tell him that he was planning on doing another.
Mark Hamill looks like shit.
He does. He
the accident did not do well for his life, and
he's old. He's aged appropriately.
Yes.
Put on some weight.
Han Solo. Jesus. Harrison Ford.
Has aged really well.
Yeah, he has.
But at the same point in time, here's my thing. How far do you jump ahead? Do you say, let's keep these? I mean, because if you're doing that, then Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill need to go on
84 through 83 through now.
Well, right. Hang on. How far did we jump from 3 to 4?
It's 10 years.
To 10 years? 20 years?
20.
20 okay. years.
Yeah, because Anakin's born and Luke's born and he's 18, 20.
Spoiler.
Why
are you listening?
God, can you imagine meeting someone and trying to explain Star Wars to them?
I've done it.
Who's never seen any Star Wars?
Do you start with the prequels?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's bad form.
So, Justin, as much as I like the prequels, I think still you still start with the original.
Never.
I think you need to watch 3, 4, and 5.
No, 4, 5, 6.
4, 5, and 6.
I disagree.
And then 1, 2.
I understand, and I get your argument. However, as much as Bruce rants about this, the one thing I'll agree is Empire Strikes Back, that's a pretty pinnacle point of the story, and that's the way I've kind of always felt about it.
Luke!
Have you
seen the previous movie? Obviously, I'm your father. There's no drama here!
I didn't want to start this argument. I'm just saying, I understand your point. I just think, my personal opinion is, I would still watch 4, 5, and 6. I have no problem with the original, or the prequels. I like the prequels. I know you don't. I know you love them. I just still think because of the way I grew up, that's just the way I would watch it.
Grew up, yeah. I know people that grew up watching 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Correct, and that's fine.
I talk to those people too.
I'm fine with that.
And I've also, I've there's two people definitely that I said you have to watch it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
And I know they said they. I can name two.
They actually said they like cared about Anakin. You know, by the end of the movie, they were in tears. By the end of 6. Because they watch his character, like,
no.
Have his arc. They're watching his arc, not...
The only... And my interaction with people who haven't seen them in the order I've seen them in is limited. But of the few I have talked to, they don't have as much of an appreciation for 4, 5, and 6 because they don't feel that they've aged that well. Mm-hmm. They have a hard time relating with those characters as well.
Hmm.
I think if you go to a 10-year-old and ask them who's the coolest character in Star Wars, they're not going to say Han Solo. If you go to someone in their 30s...
They're obviously going to say...
They're going to say Han Solo.
Right. Their two idols are Han Solo and Captain Kirk.
So who are they going to say? Anakin? Probably? Clone Wars?
My
possibly. Nephew. I would say Padme almost. She's more of a... Or not... I'm sorry.
She is pretty cool.
Not her, though.
Ahsoka?
Ahsoka. She's a pretty powerful
see,
character.
Now you're getting into the but cartoon spin-off.
This is a whole other level of generation of Star Wars.
Yeah, but you're talking about people who have grown up with just watching this cartoon.
I mean, it's been on for 5 years.
Yeah.
It's almost 5 years now.
My cousin's son, Holden, his favorite character is Count Dooku.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's pretty cool.
And I'm like, why do you like Count Dooku? He's like, Count Dooku's cool. He's got a curved sword.
Yeah, it's like the little... It's like a very elegant... I didn't show.
Yeah.
Anyways,
no, it was rumored that it was going to be a curved blade.
Yeah, that was going to be tough.
Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
In 4, 5, and 6, do the midichlorians exist?
Do they exist?
Did anyone mention them?
No.
I was under the impression, watching this up until the prequels came out, that the Force and the lightsabers were one and the same. Mm-hmm. That you... yourself, as a Jedi, or as being in contact with the Force, you were crafting this blade out of... It was a mental projection of the Force.
And how would Han...
There was no lasers involved, there was no crystals involved, there was no chemical in your blood. It was... You're using it... It's like a spirit blade. You were making a spirit blade.
It would have been tough to explain using it in Empire. That would be my... I could see where the confusion would come from.
Now, my explanation for the... Not being... It's a retro... explain it,
yeah.
Would be that, the Jedi, I think I talked about this about here before, I don't know, the Jedi's have broken down the Force they broke down God into science.
Right.
And that was midichlorians. And then they find Luke, and all the Jedi's are wiped out, and so they tell him it's something more, it's something to, not science. I mean, he needs to believe in something. He needs to believe in God.
Well, you talk about all the Jedis being wiped out. And Mike, you mentioned the cartoons earlier. They've introduced a shit ton of Jedis.
Oh, it's going to be depressing as hell when they end that.
Well, hang on. Do they kill off everyone? Or does everyone just disappear like Obi-Wan did?
They've been killing.
In these sequels, is it just going to be like, hey, and here's all the other Jedis,
no, Luke? The only way you can...
Their planet was cloaked.
The only way you could do what Obi-Wan was able to do through the Force is you had to have a way to become one with the Force, and because of reading Lucas is very
uninvolved anymore.
No, that's not what I'm going with. When he did, when he was in looking into the Force and everything, he was very big into Nirvana and
Buddhism.
Yes, and when becoming one with the Force was a harmonizing Nirvana, basically, like you were attuned with the world in like this essence, you know what I mean? You're with the way of the universe and everything. So it was more of not necessarily God, but it was more of a spirituality kind of thing, you know what I mean? So that's why certain people, I think if Obi-Wan dies at the end of episode 3, you know, if Anakin like kills him too or whatever, he's not coming back. But because of where Qui-Gon Jinn was, because they talk about that at the end of
3. Yeah, you haven't seen 3.
They talk about how Obi-Wan, Yoda says, he's like, I've come in contact with one of your friends. You know, your old master from your past, basically.
Qui-Gon.
So, basically, in between 3 and 4, you have Obi-Wan learning the in-depth ways of the Force.
It should be the Clone Wars, though, shouldn't it?
That's between 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Is that between 2 and 3?
Yeah. That's when the Clone Wars started.
Then what the hell happened to all these characters?
They're dead. They're all wiped out.
So everyone that's been created in the cartoon dies.
It's going to be dead. Yeah, it's really depressing.
They've been killing off characters. They killed off, once again, we're spoiling stuff, but who's the one in episode 1? Pink Yoda.
Oh, yeah. I remember. I know.
Yeah, that was a sad episode.
Hoda is what I call it.
That was a sad episode when he got it.
Yeah.
Who else has got, tons of...
Yeah, they just...
I'm talking about, Ahsoka and those kids that they just introduced in the last 3 episodes with David Tennant.
But he hasn't seen any of this yet.
I'm a couple behind right now.
I haven't seen the last one.
5. But I'm 3 or 4 behind yet.
There's a Jedi Wookiee!
Pretty sweet, right?
His lightsaber is made of wood! That is awesome!
Is it, really?
Yeah!
It's a shell.
That's pretty sweet.
It's a wooden lightsaber! That's pretty cool. I didn't know that was an option. I want mine made of dragon bone.
I want mine from the claw of the creature.
The Sarlacc?
The creature in Jedi. The
Sarlacc pit monster?
No, not Sarlacc. The one underneath Jabba's palace.
You mean the Sarlacc?
Rancor.
The tusk of the giant fang of a Rancor. That's what I want. That's what my lights are.
I want Jabba's tailbone.
I'm pretty sure there's no bone in that. I'm sure it's just a big thing of gelatin.
His light dildo, run!
So, we had been talking about who we wanted to see in the next films, and we are so far gone.
The droids, and everyone else is dead.
Okay, now...
No, I wouldn't mind seeing Han,
but
I can't stand if he wears... I was thinking about this a lot.
If he wears the vest?
Yeah, that'll bother me.
He looked like the guy from Blues Traveler now.
He's in better shape than that guy.
I'm hoping that episode 7 and 8 and 9 or whatever, they take a cue from episodes 1, 2, 3 with the...
Expanded,
clothing. You know,
I did not expect you to talk about Star Wars fashion.
Than just... Yeah, I'm a big into this.
But you understand, though, that people don't wear underwear in space. George Lucas has said this many times.
So no piping down the sides of everyone's pants?
Look, I think eventually Han, if we say that him and Leia...
had kids.
Who knows? Because we're not going into... I'm not trying to go into the expanded universe. Okay, right. Because, I mean, that could all be negated.
That'd be interesting to see what happens, because now Disney owns it, and they can... Well, Lucas has been given... some limited control, oversee.
Right, never considers the books to be...
Well, let's not talk logistics of what's going on, because we're not lawyers or scholars. Let's talk about our opinions. That's what people
want to listen to. I just don't want him to wear one, 4, 5, 6 outfits.
If Solo does show up, I want him to be in maybe 20 minutes of the movie. Maybe whoever the main characters are, they end up in some sort of seedy dive bar, kind of
maybe they'll finally kill him.
The cantina.
He wants that. He wants
maybe him. Han owns a bar or something. You know?
Yeah.
And he's like, quick, kids, you know, in here or whatever. And he saves them. Right. And they're like, oh, thanks a lot, mister. He's like, I've had some experience, too. Shut up, old guy.
And you know what?
And that's all you see.
How did this become, like, a typical 80s action film now? Like that comedy action
quick, film. Quick, kids, get in here. Oh, my God, it's Thor.
We're a black guy away from a buddy cop movie at this point in time. You realize this?
That's exactly. Michael Wilcox or whatever his name is.
Wilco.
Okay, whatever. Look, the band will come.
Yeah, exactly.
They can bring in Short Round.
Oh, I love Short Round.
Who doesn't like any of the Jones? But anyways, the thing I was thinking is maybe you give them some kind of nod off. You know what I mean? You give the originals a nod off in some way. You say Luke, Leia. You know, like however it something. I get what you're saying, Bruce. Not as comedic as that, but you know. But maybe they're showing a new generation of is they considered that the
Han could be dead?
Right.
I mean, they could just have Carrie Fisher look at a memorial of Han Solo. You know, you don't have to have old Harrison Ford.
You think when he died, she put him in carbonite just to spite him? You too, you son of a bitch.
I love you too.
She's just kicking him.
And he's like,
yeah, exactly. Or he's holding his chest. He's frozen in the stroke position, a la Red Fox.
I'm coming,
Leia, baby. I'm coming home.
It's him. And
she's right over there. She's still alive, Han.
From Jabba's palace.
Yes.
Or you think Chewie's just sitting there looking at an urn? Is Chewbacca going to be in this?
Oh no, he died in the books. That's really sad.
But not. Canon,
I know.
How long do Wookiees live?
I don't know. So we're saying it's been another 20 years since the previous movie.
I mean, to explain their age.
I would generational because the first one was about this generation, yeah. And the second.
It doesn't have to be about the kids. I mean, it could be about.
It could be about Akbar, Mace Soul, when we met him. It's a trap.
We get it, okay? We get it.
It's still a trap.
He's an old person, so.
It's a trap.
Who's
pushing or doing it?
Take your medicine.
Him and Lando are sharing a room.
Code 43
in my ass. It just keeps cutting back to them.
What was the fish guy? What was the fish guy that was Lando's?
Their version of
Nimda.
He's in Adventure Brothers episode. We need help. We need to summon someone with great knowledge and power.
Yes, dude.
Co-pilot.
You know, when everyone was saying, like, Jar Jar's race, which I never got into, I was like, what about Nimda? He was like the Asian guy.
Yeah. Oh, he was.
Hold on.
He was.
When I first saw him, I instantly thought of Pie Face from Green Lantern.
Oh, that name's completely gone. They do not. They mentioned it once in Secret Origin, and it wasn't even Hal calling it. It was some other guy, and he was like,
I was like, that's wrong, buddy. I did it for 40 years.
It was kind of like that because somebody said, "Hey, Pie Face, you're gonna do that," and Hal was walking by, and he's like, Pie Face. Oh, because he's an Eskimo. I get it. That's pretty funny. I didn't know Polacks could tell jokes. That's the joke.
Technically, he was an Inuit.
Oh, so he said Eskimo, huh?
I don't remember what he said.
DZ Comics.
Jesus.
I don't know. I follow Jeff Johns.
You want me to podcast?
Do you want me to put? You want me to
quit, say Justin? Say something about women.
I'm gonna say, yeah. Come on, Justin. Tell me more about your 50s conservative ways about why they should be at home cooking their dinners and everything.
You ruin everything. I knew. What was gonna be doing?
Damn broad.
Cooking and cleaning.
The character that I think who is essential to the rebellion. He's a minor character, but he's essential in every major battle. Is Wedge Antilles. I feel like this guy
Love Wedge.
He's my favorite.
The story about him and his dad needs to be told.
Yeah, his dad was the one who owned the droids. Captain Antilles. That's his dad.
Yes!
They're all Corellians. I love the story of Wedge Antilles. I think he is now the general of the Rebellion or the New Republic or whatever.
Who was that? They won. What are the Rebellion going to
do? Yeah, but they're not.
We're still rebels.
Well, they're not going to say, hey, we're the new empire, same as the old empire.
But no, the Galactic Republic, the new Galactic Republic.
Who was the chicken white in Hoth giving everyone orders?
Mon Mothma.
She's in charge.
She was cut off. She was cut out in a. She had like a small role.
She was just walking in the background.
Yeah,
she's essentially like the empress, the replacement for the emperor.
She's Hillary Clinton, is what you're saying.
She was in charge of the rebellion, right?
She's Hillary Clinton.
Rather than make her the supreme chancellor, if you
will. Who would be then the supreme chancellor?
I don't know.
Not Leia.
No, I'm saying.
That's stupid.
I'm saying Wedge.
Her planet was destroyed.
Wedge is the general of the army now.
Yeah, I'm with him. I'm trying to figure out the rest of the structure.
He's training the new recruits and everything. One of them is now, like, you know, you got to show, like, the Jedi Order.
Can one of them be a Wookiee?
Yes, I love Wookiees, buddy.
Chewbacca's the Supreme Chancellor.
Oh my God, he's got a medal.
Yeah,
he's like the Cowardly Lion.
I was like, I disagree.
He's ice. Wookiees don't like it when they lose. We learned that a long time ago.
That's the Wookiee way.
Yeah, exactly.
Bloodied stumps all over the.
He's got ammo belt on and everything. We're in a time of peace.
His laser crossbow.
Laser crossbow. Let's talk about the genius of this invention. It's something that's supposed to be a projectile, but yet shoots lasers.
Does he still amazing. Have to cock it back?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a set the laser.
Set the laser?
Yeah, it's got like go
does
back.
Does he have
back.
Laser rods?
It's got to charge it. It's got to charge it.
It's like when you pull the string back out of the race cars.
What's that? Yeah. Metroid, where you have to charge up the beam first real quick, or Mega Man, you know? That's what it's like. Yeah, it's both games you did.
Okay, so Chewbacca can be in it, because we don't know the rate. And pretty much any of the aliens can be in it, because we don't know the rate they age.
We don't know how old.
I think Wedge should be in it. I'm going to start.
How old was he in 6?
He was pretty young still, because there's, 7 years in between New Hope and...
New Hope and
Jedi, 7 years, right?
Empire is 2.
I love Wedge. I'm totally fine with
2 or 3, and then it's only a couple months between...
Empire and Jedi?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Oh, yeah. Like maybe 6 tops.
Okay, so we're talking 3 years. So Wedge, who looks like a 16-year-old pilot, like he is the scruffy...
Look up his age. You're the research man.
You're talking Wedge and Tilly's, or the guy who played Wedge?
The guy who played Wedge.
No,
you can't play like a 25-year-old still.
You're missing the point.
Years later.
Dude, yeah, this guy has moved on and done other things. You recast some of these people that nobody give a shit about anymore.
No.
Absolutely so.
Recast as Han Solo then, buddy.
No. Not those guys.
Backpedal.
Not backpedaling.
Channing Tatum.
No. Hate that guy. But his name does sound very Star Wars-ish.
I don't know. Channing. I'll tell you what, I hate Channing Tatum, too, but 21 Jump Street had me weak. That movie was hilarious,
Jonah
dude.
Hill.
I didn't... I couldn't stand either of them enough to give it a chance.
It's pretty funny, actually. I hate to admit it, but I laughed a lot during that movie. I hate Channing Tatum. He was the main reason why I was even... I even tried to watch Netflix, or watch G.I. Joe on Netflix. I didn't even watch until it was on Netflix. And I was like... It could have been better with another actor. Like, that's literally my thought that I had with it.
I like that.
It was okay.
So, okay.
Droids, aliens.
Yeah. What about planets? I'd like to see Coruscant again. I'd like to see what kind of state.
I don't know.
Is it weird that Antilles is a memorized word on my phone?
No.
The galaxy's a pretty big place. I understand what you're saying. Like, hey, let's go back and revisit them for the sake of saying, hey, it was cool the first time. But we could go anywhere. We could do anything. Let's talk about the types. We've seen a swamp planet. We've seen an ice planet. We've seen a desert planet.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen a CGI planet.
Yo, oh.
By the way.
An Endor, which is a moon.
Oh, we've seen a forest
Wedge
planet.
Wedge is 65 currently.
Okay.
Jeez. Dennis Wilson. That's
lava.
What I'm saying.
We've seen a lava planet.
We've
seen an ocean planet.
Hey, look. He's still in pretty good age right there, buddy.
Yeah, I would totally buy him as Wedge.
You would be okay with that?
Admiral Antilles?
He actually looks a little bit...
Forward. Yeah, whichever.
You say
Supreme
Board?
Admiral.
I'm thinking Commandant Antilles or something. Because Admiral was the Empire's rank.
No, Admiral... Because it's Admiral Akbar.
Because it is Admiral Akbar. Okay.
It's naval terms. It's just in space.
Yeah, they don't care. They're part of the
military. But there is a general, too, because General Veers. And then there's Admiral Piet. Yeah.
We're still talking about the planets here. Okay, I'm holding up. I got fingers here, buddy.
Okay.
Swamp, desert, ice, lava, ocean, forest.
Uh-huh.
And I had a seventh.
You had a plant level, a plant planet.
I said forest.
That's a...
I said swamp.
No, there's plant, which was Pelusia. It's the one where...
I think that's a city in Israel.
No. That's Felusia.
Probably.
Felatio?
There's a...
It's a city in my pants.
Oh, and then there's a city planet.
Oh, Coruscant.
The
Coruscant.
CGI one.
The city planet.
Hey, yeah, okay. Wolverine, retract your claws back just a little bit. I don't mind if you do that little peek thing, baby. You're ready to do it, but just calm down.
What else? What haven't we seen? What do we need to see next?
What would you consider Kashyyyk?
No planet.
Just like space?
An invisible planet.
They've done that. They've done no space. They did an asteroid.
They did.
Oh, yeah.
And there were bats.
They were Minox.
Yeah, Minox.
There were more like...
I'm a
they're flying devil rays.
I'm a Star Trek dude.
They were more like
worms inside your body.
Yeah, no, it was parasites.
You could survive if you just wore a little mask. That was it. You just needed like
because of the atmosphere inside the creature.
You just need like a Dr. Giggle style.
And a parsec is a distance, not actually a speed. So okay, what are we really looking at here? Okay.
No, Revenge of the Sith had tons of planets.
I mean, yeah, because they kept going to different.
One was pollution. Like I can't answer that.
Which have, I'm just. What haven't we seen?
Nothing. I think we've seen.
No, the ocean planet was pretty cool.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. I like the idea of different types of planets. I've been trying to come up with different types of planets for our space thing. Trying to think of things we haven't seen.
That's tough.
It is.
It's really tough.
Are you mining us for your comic book right now?
Maybe. A little bit.
Okay. It's technically what about mine and Mike's right now? He's got a couple of days.
So okay. What about, like, you know, I know there was, like, the worm, but what about a sentient planet kind of like Mogo? We haven't seen anything like that. That'd be kind of interesting.
Neither of you watched Farscape, right?
What's Farscape? No, Farscape. Is that a real thing?
Yes, it is.
I think you made it up in your mind.
Son of a bitch. I'll punch you in the soul. There's,
cool name, though.
There's a couple of episodes in that. It takes place on a dead giant creature. Like they're mining the bone marrow of this animal that's the size of a solar system.
That's not Mogo.
No, it's not, but I'm saying, that's original.
Yeah, that's interesting. So it was a living planet. That's pretty original.
It's been...
It's Alan Moore!
Yeah, but well, Mogo... No,
before that, there was a living planet.
Ego, the living planet. Yeah, Ego, Fantastic Four.
I think you guys made that up.
Nope.
No? Jack Kirby did.
Oh. Well, I have to respect what Jack
Kirby did. And Stanley Libowitz.
He had a face.
Who?
Stanley Libowitz.
Ego had a face.
Yeah, he did. He had a mustache.
Yeah. Mustache and a face.
He fell in love
planet?
With... He fell in love with the Earth.
He tried to... You know,
I remember when they went there to the John Byrne stuff. So yeah.
Anyways,
I love you.
So what is left? Like you planet, then you start going. Like if you're looking at planets like that, now all of a sudden we're entering the Star Trek realm where they're going to a planet that got
it's
only
the gangsta, old West.
And they got all gangster channels all the time. And next thing you know, it's mobs all over the place.
You know what? What we haven't seen taken seriously before, and I'm not sure if it could be taken seriously, but like a Little Prince style planet.
A what?
A Little Prince.
Prince.
Yeah, the
yeah.
No. You aren't familiar with like the French movie and the cartoon, The Little Prince.
Hmm.
No,
his planet's like twice the size of a house. Like you see the curvature, he can walk around his entire planet.
When like, when did this happen?
Wasn't that like one of those places on Mario Galaxy?
Maybe.
Okay,
it was a thing in Dragon Ball Z before that, buddy.
The first time I ever like late '70s. There's this movie called The Little Prince, and it was based on a storybook called The Little Prince.
Interesting.
And there's cartoons about it.
It's that, like, you land there and you're, like, you can see the back part of your ship from where you walk out in the front, basically. Yeah. I'm not joking.
His planet, it's a volcano, a flower, and his house.
Hmm. If there's an eruption, you have problems on that planet.
Well, then that's the whole thing. Like, he waters his flower, then he has to water the volcano to keep it from killing his... There's a delicate balance on the planet.
So it's the Force?
Maybe. But I'm saying, a miniature planet. A planet small enough.
Hmm.
Could that be done seriously, though?
No.
Or would it just look ridiculous?
I think it would look
ridiculous. No matter who lands on that.
I could see Family Guy doing it. I don't know if I could see Star Wars doing it.
So why do you think Lucas sold? Why do you think Lucas sold the rights?
I think he's dying.
I was thinking the same thing.
I don't think he's dying. I think he literally, like, his name has been attached to this thing for over 30 years now. He has to deal with fanboys every skip of the way and wondering, when's episode 7 going to be doing? What are you doing with the Clone Wars? Where's your live action TV show? Where's this? Where's that? What are you doing? What are you doing? I think he's just saying, done with it. Keep my name on the product. I will oversee little here and there things for big decisions. Other than that, you guys can do what you want. Disney has handled Marvel pretty well from whatever aspect you want to look at it. You guys can do it because you can obviously set stuff up better.
Just sell Star Wars either.
We
can't gloss over the fact he sold Lucasfilms, right?
Right.
So Indiana Jones.
Howard the Duck.
Which probably part of the Marvel deal now.
Willow.
I don't think Indiana Jones. I think it's still Paramount.
No, I'm sorry.
No, hang on.
Indy's on part of it.
Indiana Jones, the Paramount still has, like they still, if there is like two more movies, they still have that. Yes, you're right.
Anything future though is...
I think, like, the license and everything
goes
to Disney now.
And that's the same way. Fox still owns distribution of all previous products made up to a certain point in time. Disney gets all for...
The future.
The future rights.
Which is one of the reasons they're cranking out another one. Not because fans demand it, but because our bank account demands it.
Oh, right. They just tossed $4
billion. The reason, essentially, why Disney's making a fart set.
Okay.
Which should be called subtitled Leonard's Part 7.
Leonard's Part 7?
Star Wars 7, Leonard Part 7.
Okay.
Bill Cosby movie.
You never saw Leonard Part 7 with Bill Cosby?
At least I own it.
I liked it. Watched it.
I'm sure. I like Bill Cosby, except for Ghost Dad.
I like Ghost Dad.
It was okay. Anyways, it's made fun of a lot. That's the only reason I threw it out there.
I think he's sick, and I think he wanted to make sure it was in good hands.
You think it's that thing growing under his chin?
No. I think that's his neck.
That's why is it growing forward?
He's got a goiter because he doesn't take in salt anymore.
Maybe he's like a crooked ET. It extends outward.
I think he could have got that fixed. I think he was unhappy with it. It must be not care.
He's growing a beard to cover it up.
He's been divorced forever. He's in his, 70s now? He doesn't give a shit.
He makes love to computer-generated women.
You love this. You love knocking this computer-generated stuff, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Well, what would you have been like if we had this conversation in the 80s? Would it have been like Muppets or something?
No, I love, like, Hellboy. I love the Hellboy movies because it's real. You can touch that stuff. Those are masks.
You don't understand how angry people were when Return of the Jedi came out. And even when Empire Strikes Back came out.
Are you talking about the puppets?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a huge Farscape fan. The show neither of you ever watched, but half the cast is puppets.
You just ruined my joke that I was going to tell.
What I'm saying is that you're saying you're against CGI. I'm saying that people in the 80s,
I'm not against CGI. I'm against the overuse of CGI.
Because Hellboy does use CGI.
Yes, it does. But there's no point in building a blue square and saying, hey, can you make this look like a desk in CGI? Build the fucking desk.
Yeah, I think you overestimate how much CGI was used in the 1, 2, and 3.
Not based on the behind-the-scenes stuff I've seen.
I have books and books.
I have eyes and seen discs.
What?
You have your books and books.
What did you say?
I have eyes and I've
seen
things
discs.
On the
disc. Oh, discs. Not. Yeah. Not male anatomy hiding underneath the desk right now.
Yeah. There's just there was a lot of needless CGI, and another
a lot
issue.
Of models though.
There was.
Yeah.
And I like those when they made sense. Another problem I have with the prequels is the lack of continuity. Things did not structurally or design wise look like they came from the same cultures, the same races.
Mm-hmm. What do you
ships?
Okay.
Ship design. It didn't jive.
Like, what do you mean? Like, it looked too new?
Not too new. They did not look like the precursor to the ships we saw.
I disagree wholeheartedly because if you take a look at the Jedi starfighters, those are cross between
a few of them.
Those are
somebody
like
put
fighters.
Thought into. Some
now,
of them they did not.
Now see, I've had a way of justifying this since episode 1, because I had a buddy who made this argument with me too. Yep. And the way I said it, and I don't know if it was done intentionally this way or that, when you look at 4, 5, and 6, you're in a time where war has been raging for 20 plus years.
Everything's beaten, destroyed, stretched.
You reuse things, parts are like, I could tell you the... For Christ's sake, I could tell you the names of the companies that actually make it, because I loved the Expanded Universe when I was younger. You know what I mean? I read a lot of books.
He knows the technical stuff.
But, like, these companies are just reusing everything because you're, like, you're looking at recessions and this, that, you know, everything that's happening. So things just look like crap. When you go to the prequels, you're looking at a time of peace where things could be... Look at when some of the best stuff was designed in America. The 60s... when everything was very chic and very sleek. We had a manufacturing process. It was a time of peace. I mean, I guess technically Cold War and Vietnam and Korea and stuff like that. But at the same point in time, it was not a major thing, and things could – you put a lot of thought process into it. When you hit the 70s and 80s and things got a little rougher, things became very boxy, correct?
Explain to me the
– But you're also looking at a planet.
Yep.
When you look at the first movie, you're looking at a thing that's completely made out of robots, and there's this – and then you have another planet that is its own thing where they make their own stuff. That has nothing to do with a TIE fighter or an X-Wing anywhere down the road.
Two points I'd like to make. Explain to me the mirrored ship that young Anakin flies in the first movie.
The mirror?
The really reflective...
The Naboo?
Like he's in the middle of the space battle.
Naboo fighter.
Okay. There's no other ship mirrored. There's no other ship shaped like a dart.
All of the ships are like that. All of the Naboo starfighters are the twin. They're supposed to look like World War or biplanes. You know, you have
why was that one so reflective?
Maybe to just make his stand out. Maybe it was more of like a visual grasp. I don't know. I don't remember it standing out that much more than anybody
else. His entire ship was shiny.
No, it was yellow.
It was yellow with the silver
back, front. The front is silver because it looks like it should be the opposite way. It looks like it should fly the opposite way. That's how the Naboo, because they look like
that ship just really stood backwards. Out. It did not jive with its environment. It did not jive with any of the ships surrounding it. It looked out of place. It looked like somebody walked in and said, "This would make a cool toy. We should put it in the movie."
It belonged with the Naboo. The Naboo had.
I don't remember the other ships having a similar look.
Very similar.
It, from what I can remember, I'm sorry.
So,
I think
for technology. Then I guess that's the next question.
Second thing,
yeah.
And we've talked about this before. The people who built the Death Star don't have thumbs, and they live in mud huts.
Uh huh. What were we talking about?
Well, no. I think I looked it up. I think they do have thumbs.
Who's this?
The Geonosians.
The people who built the Death Star.
The Geonosians.
Yeah. I remember them not having thumbs and living in mud huts.
I'm looking this up too.
They built the Death Star, for God's sake. They built the most advanced weapon.
They didn't build the Death Star. They were just a group. Yeah, they were just the group.
Are we talking like the little insect people?
Yeah.
Who had the manufacturing plants?
They built everything.
They built all the droids.
Yeah, they all kind of look like
built
that.
Droids.
And all,
droids
the, all, droids. All of their planes look just like that.
Was that just a plane on the surface, or was that the one that Anakin stumbled into with R2?
I don't know. This is
and took out half the fleet.
I think that was just the ship that's just on the cover of the game. Which I would imagine.
The ship I'm talking about is the one like Anakin, like he rolls into the cockpit and the ship actually gets launched and he ends up taking out half of the...
They may have done something literally to enhance the look of the ship just so you knew which one he was flying. I'll have to watch episode one again. I watched it with Ethan the other day.
I remember being very distracted by that.
The Naboo stuff was all very shiny.
Like, because they had the big Blackbird is what I call it. Their actual ship. It was like a giant silver sheet.
Yeah, like a silver stealth fighter.
I remember the submarine that Qui-Gon and them got on.
Now that was Gungan.
Whichever.
Hmm.
But still, the alien race that built the Death Star.
I'm looking at
the little insectoid people.
I thought it was like a joint effort from all the separatist forces.
When Dooku went to that desert planet.
I know what you're talking
about. Which everyone lived in a mud hut and looked like big ants.
They got two and then a thumb.
Show me.
I gotta try a better picture than the one I had. Okay, so let's talk about technology then as well. Here we go.
You don't want to talk about technology?
No, I said yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry that you said no. Like you just shut. He's like, let's talk about technology. You said no.
So do you think the technology
was that one guy built like all the other ones, and they all have those?
Yeah. I mean, some had like different faces.
They had those sonic weapons too, right? They're like,
but here, okay, so they're in like a mock Roman Colosseum at that part where they have the three people chained in the three different columns and three different monsters come out.
Yeah.
And they have that very advanced factory where they're building the droids and everything. Their technology does not match their clothing or their homes or their form of entertainment. Their society, their culture,
is very gladiatorial, is what you're talking
about. No, the individual pieces of their society and culture do not go together. Hmm. There was not a lot of thought. It's not cohesive.
I just... But it's all right. We're here to talk about episode 7.
Yeah, I hope there's better. I hope there's better world building in it.
I don't know if I ever really thought about it that way. I just thought about it of like they mostly did like they used. I guess the way maybe I've never even thought about it until you brought this up. I guess the reason it just naturally made sense, and I say naturally made sense to me, the way I've justified it in my mind, maybe for you as you look at it, is that it looks like that everything that's out here is just cover. This is like, do you remember during, not remember, but do you ever hear during World War II about how they did stuff in Hollywood where they would make drops over things so when people would come and invade, it was just very sophisticated camouflage. That's what that was, and all of their technology and everything built
was underground.
Yeah, sure. Why not? I don't know. When you say it underground, you can make anything sound awful. But I'm just saying.
I can make it all sound awful from 42 minutes ago. It wasn't just all of a sudden my opinion changed.
I know, but for whatever reason, I had it that all their technology.
I didn't see it that way. I look at it as
ants. That's the kind of way I looked at it. Ants, insects.
If your people are capable of building the galaxy's most dangerous weapon, wouldn't you build something nice for yourself? China builds a lot of our imports, correct?
Yeah.
Like all of radio games, televisions. You better believe they have some sweet shit back home. They're not sending it all over here. They keep a little for themselves. And I find it hard to believe that that society wouldn't keep any of this stuff for themselves and that they would still live in mud huts.
I guess my thing was is that maybe they're just beyond that. They don't need that stuff, I guess. Not beyond it, but they just they see no value in making stuff like that for themselves. They're just worker. They're labor. That's all they are. Like, that's what they do. I've never honestly thought about it this in-depth until you brought it up. But that's the only thing I can come up
with. I think this...
How do they bug you?
It's a pun.
I try to think this way about all... I want everything to make sense to me. I'm the guy that overanalyzes stuff and ruins movies and TV shows for people, but if it's good, I'll respect it. Sorry.
No, you're fine. Your opinion's allowed to be had. I was just... You gave your opinion, I gave my opinion. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying this is the way I've always had it in my mind, I guess.
I always liked... I can't remember which one it is. I'm not a big Star Wars guy, so I can't remember the order of them. But like when Han Solo was blind, and they were going to throw him in the Sarlacc. And
three, six.
Is it six?
Third,
okay.
Third of the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that Jabba, like, his little desert transport ship, you know, like they were serving drinks on it, and it moved slowly, and it just floated, and that seemed very slovenly and lazy, and it made...
It matched his personality.
It made sense with who was in charge of that, and... If you look at everything else, like you look at the design of Slave One, and it goes with
the technology matches the person. What you're saying, it's an extension of their personality.
Everything made sense.
Okay.
And then prequels, I didn't feel that. It didn't feel like it felt like everything was designed by individuals in different rooms in a building, and that somebody decided we should put all this together. Where in the original movies. They designed everything at once together, and it all jived. It all connected. That's the way I see it.
Well, I guess then we'll go a little bit over. Branch into the next segment because we go a little bit over. So Lucas not directing the next ones.
Yeah.
He directed 4, 1, 2, and 3.
And your most issues, of 6, even though he won't take credit of it, right. He did end up directing
and
most of 6.
Probably came in and did stuff on...
I don't know. Maybe here and there, maybe he had special little segments he did, but I believe Irvin Kershner, correct? Am I right? He directed most of that film. From the extensive things I've watched, because I love Empire Strikes Back, most people do. Maybe. Sure. You know. Yeah. But that's what the producer kind of does. Kinda.
Right. So, anyhow, directors for episode 7.
Mike, you go first.
I'm going to need a minute.
Since what we're saying is that you're unhappy, Lucas was in charge. No, he's not. So possibly Disney.
I think with something like Star Wars.
Wasn't it Kathleen Kennedy?
Yeah. Star Wars isn't known for its directing. Lucas didn't push a lot of limits when it came to camera shots or transitions. You know, no one ever said, wow, that's incredibly well shot. It was Star Wars. It was fun. It was cheap. It was fast.
The first one. Broke boundaries for a shot.
Special effect wise, yes,
but not like pans. And
yeah, it wasn't Hitchcock for God's sake.
No, but when you look at the way
I know, but I'm saying there is no style.
Right
is my argument. I don't think Lucas.
I would.
You can't instantly look at something and go, "Oh shit, that's Lucas."
But what you can do is you can look and say you can tell who Lucas was influenced by because one of Lucas's. If you watch the first Star Wars, the way some of the cut sequences that he does now, it's obviously different because of the way he's re-edited some things in the future. But if you go back and if you can ever watch the original one, you can see so much Akira Kurosawa in that first movie that it's insane. Because there's one thing that Kurosawa was a master doing was deadpans into a staring shot and like that, and you see. A lot of cut sequences like that in the original Star Wars.
I think that was something in the time period. Carpenter did a lot of
that. They call that the New Hollywood, and they were influenced by a lot of Japanese cinema. So, but
I don't think the director is really going to have much say in this.
Not as much as Spielberg. I think out of that genre, kind of came up with more of it. You said there's certain shots when you see.
Oh, there's definitely Spielberg shots.
Yeah, you know Spielberg shots, would you say there's a Lucas shot though, or would you agree with Bruce on this?
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of
something that stands out as a Lucas shot. Okay, that's what we were going for. Okay.
I can see a Lucas film say
if you bring in
his production,
and right?
If you bring in a director with too strong of a voice, then it ruins Star Wars. You need vanilla. You need milk toast.
I think
the story and the characters need to be the reason people are in the theaters, not because I want to see what. And I'm just pulling this out of my ass. I want to see what Quentin Tarantino does with Star Wars.
Even though he's not going
to do it. Exactly, but that's someone with a definitive style. You look at that and you're like, oh my God.
That's Quentin Tarantino. Yeah.
Well, so what about, I mean, I'm not trying to branch, but we got the different Marvel movies since Disney's doing this.
Yeah.
And you have Joss Whedon on Avengers, and there's certain
things. And Jon Favreau doing Iron Man. And
right, and then now not Jon Favreau.
Right,
yeah.
What will be the difference between Shane Black and Jon Favreau's Iron Man?
Yeah, I'm curious to see if all three of those will play well together.
But, after that. I mean, you know, there's some big, bigger talent.
I don't think you get a big talent name. I think you find somebody who you can look at an indie film and be like, this guy knows how to direct.
So like the guy behind Looper? I can't.
Brian Johnson?
The guy who did Brick and the other movies.
Is he even in contention?
No, I think he's just throwing out a guy that
you know. No, he has a style.
No. Okay. But I'm saying somebody who's not well known that you say he has a style, but could you take 1 out of 10, or how many people out of 10 could you show him a thing, and they'd be like, oh, that's this guy's
work. I don't know. I've seen all his work before.
You can say that. Yes. But if you show it to Justin and I can't say, oh, that's this movie, or that's his shooting style. Yes. If he shot a commercial, I would have no idea. Now watching every Wes Anderson, or not every Wes Anderson, but watching a lot of Wes Anderson films, I know Wes Anderson's directing style. There's a lot of cuts, and there's a lot of no cuts. Like, and what I mean, like layering.
Yep.
You move from here to here to here, and it's all one long shot. Or you move from this room to this room to this room, going straight up. It's beautiful. It's a good cinema, and it fits to his story. But I'm saying you don't get somebody with a unique feel to like that you can distinctly pick out, unless you say you're directing all three Star Wars films and you make them your own. Yeah. But it has to fit into this
universe. Alfonso Cuarón.
Yeah, exactly. Is there gonna be a thing where Luke and Han are hugging Leia on the side and everything?
Harry Potter 3.
He did a movie called Yoto Ma Tambien.
Children of Men.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. What about Columbus? I mean, that's another person.
Chris Columbus. No.
I would love those.
What about the guy who ruined the Fantastic Four? Is it Tim Story? You want?
Tim Story is the director of Fantastic Four. Yeah. Yes.
What?
It's a black and white world for me. I hate the Fantastic Four movies. I think they were poorly directed.
They were fun. I think they were. I will probably. Jump a lot.
A no name, but a name at the same time.
Well, and I'm talking about somebody without a visual style. Joss Whedon is a good director. He's a powerful writer. I don't think you could look at Firefly, Buffy, and Avengers and say these were directed by the same guy, strictly based on the visuals.
Okay.
He does not have a visual signature.
But writing.
Yes.
His tone.
Character interaction.
Right.
Is where his voice comes through.
Would you say that kind of sets him up for Star Wars too? Because Firefly was designed around everybody's kind of Han Solo on that ship. That was like kind of the whole.
He's too busy with.
Well, I know, but like, is if you're a name, is that the kind of name you have to go after?
What about what's her name? The who's the let's go female director? What's her
Big
name?
Catherine Bigelow.
The one the Oscar.
Yeah, yeah. For Hurt Locker.
Yeah, and then a new Osama Bin Laden movie.
I don't know. I haven't seen any of her.
Zero movies. Dark Thirty.
Yeah.
She did a vampire movie a while ago too. That's considered one of the best vampire movies ever done. I can't think of the
80s one.
Was it 80s or early 90s? I can't remember. A lot of people say it's one of the better ones though.
Near Dark.
That's it. Near Dark.
I would personally go with somebody who's a workhorse, who will listen to producers, who will respect the material, but is not a fanboy. I would go with someone who has a lot of experience in television. Someone who can work with deadlines, work with maximum interference from the studio. I would just pick whoever does the most television pilots or
what J.J. Abrams did with Star Trek.
Yeah.
He did wasn't a big fanboy, but he.
But you not somebody like Abrams. But I'm saying you find somebody with a television background, mm-hmm. somebody who doesn't do movies, somebody who isn't an A-list.
Okay, let me throw this name out at you. Yeah. And maybe I don't know if this would be considered big. It would have been at a time, but I don't know if you consider it now. But what about Tim Kring, the guy who did Heroes?
Has he ever directed?
I don't know. See, that's my thing. I don't know if he's actually directed anything.
He's produced a lot of stuff. I was thinking, if I had to pull a name, Jonathan Frakes.
That would be interesting.
He's done a shit ton of television.
Like, what's that?
Riker.
Oh, yes, sorry. Okay, I was like, I know this name. I'm blanking.
He's done a lot of television. And you can't look at something and say, oh, that's Jonathan Frakes. You think he has a visual
voice? I have a couple shots that I can see. Okay. Not in the direction. Yeah. Only First Contact.
No, and I'm talking about like every episode of Leverage he's ever done.
No, I don't watch this. I mean, I'm talking about Star Trek Next Gen.
Yeah.
And in First Contact, there are a couple things that he does.
Okay.
But I don't see an insurrection at all. So, I mean, that's good. That's good.
Look now, up Franks real quick and see what he's directing.
I've seen the last movie he did was Clock Stoppers.
Yeah.
And I didn't really see that his work in there.
Is that O-N or A-N?
So he knows special effects. That would actually be a good one.
That's what I'm saying. Somebody with workhorse mentality, mm-hmm. somebody without an ego, somebody who's going to respect the material, right. and somebody who has a lot of television experience so that they could turn these three movies around pre- and post-production and mm-hmm. meet the deadlines.
What's a realistic deadline? You know, you looked at the old Star Wars and it was kind of a thing. 3 years in between each film. That's just the way it is.
That's not including pre-production.
Correct.
We're talking like a year or so pre-production. Yeah. And cast, and then...
And a lot of it depends on how much special effects are going to do at the end. Right, versus how many practical effects. I'm pro practical effects. I think they look better.
What's a practical effect?
In camera.
Yeah.
What is it?
Like you said, in camera. You build a puppet. Lord of the Rings.
Watch a Bram
camera tricks.
Dracula.
I love it. Yeah, I love it.
They did not want to do
that. I respect that.
See, I would love Coke.
And I think it's cheaper. Mm-hmm. I mean, CGI is getting cheaper every day.
I think that's why so many people use it at this point in time.
The CGI?
If I'm not mistaken, in Pirates of the Caribbean, there was a guy who directed the first one, and then there's another guy who directed the second two, correct?
It's Gore Verbinski.
It's all they don't.
Yeah, he didn't do the last one. No, Rob Marshall, the guy from Chicago, did the fourth one.
That's what I'm saying. He did. When I say all three, that means I'm ignoring the fourth one. It never happened. Okay, it doesn't exist in my world. And he's doing the Lone Ranger.
Rob Marshall?
No. Gore Verbinski.
Yeah. I thought that was Burton. It's not Burton?
No.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was Burton.
Marshall did a good job in... Then he did Memoirs of a Geisha.
But Gore... I can't find...
I'll look it up.
Yeah, Jonathan Frakes, I think, would be a good choice. I would concur to that.
But if Disney wanted to stay with what they've been doing and everything, and somebody who's handled a three-part set...
A franchise.
Yeah, do you think something... They would look at Gore Verbinski, or however you say his name, and say, this guy can hold a story together for three movies. We could probably work with him, too.
Well, since Pirates 2 and 3 was Empire Strikes Back and...
Return of the Jedi, yeah.
Been there, done that.
I can say that. And I hate comparing movies, but I remember seeing that movie going... This is watching Empire Strikes Back here.
Right? Oh, I guess that's true because I gotcha. Did you like the other two movies?
I didn't mind them. I mean, I haven't watched them since the theater.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I still like two. I really like the third one. I've watched the third one a couple times. I think the ending fight sequence is really well.
Okay.
Just real
quick to talk about things that Jonathan Franks has directed.
Okay.
Two episodes of Castle, 12 mm-hmm. episodes of Leverage, 4 episodes of Burn Notice, 1 episode of Make It or Break It, 3 episodes of NCIS, 2 episodes of The Glade.
Hire him already. Just based on the body of work right there.
2 episodes of Good Guys, 2 episodes of Persons Unknown, 1 episode of the TV show V, 1 episode of Dollhouse. He directed.
Hire him now. Like, I'm serious. This is great. The
Librarian, he directed 2 of those. He directed Thunderbirds. He directed 1 episode of Twilight Zone, Clockstoppers in 2002, 5 episodes of Roswell, Insurrection, First Contact, 3 episodes of Star Trek Voyager. 3 episodes of Deep Space Nine, 8 episodes of Next Generation. That's his entire career.
So let me stop you right there.
Was Thunderbirds after Clockstopper? I might have been.
It was before. I was reading from present now.
Okay. Yeah.
So let me go ahead and stop right there. 1, hire. That's a good body of work. Number 2, look at Star Trek: First Contact. Arguably one of the best Star Trek films ever made. First Contact is pretty damn good, dude.
Oh, nice. It's really polarizing on the internet, though. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who
First Contact.
I liked it. I loved it.
It's my favorite of the next gen.
I think the speech that Picard gives the black woman, I can't remember her name.
Then we fall back. And then we do this. Yeah. And then we fall back.
That's a little melodramatic. And the whole thing, he goes to throw something out the window.
And it hits that Star Trek.
That's a little melodramatic for me. That was a little... Dial it back, Patrick. Come on, buddy.
Shakespearean actor.
I know, but...
That was one part, but... To me, the thing that always made sense of why he's like, everybody's like concerned, he's so over concerned because he's been the Borg. Yeah. That's the only reason I could justify this.
That nightmare he has at the beginning.
Yeah, that's good.
Chilling.
Oh, yeah. That movie, but I think it's really tough for me to look at a lot of the other Star Trek movies and say there's something better than. I'm not saying there's not something tied with it. I really enjoyed First Contact. And let me tell you what, you're talking about the guy when Generations came out. I was a kid and I probably blew a load when I saw Kurgan. And I know
it's. I'm our dog! You're the horse! I wish I was that horse!
No, not that. It's just, you know, when they met for the first time, you're like, ah, yeah. Oh, this is
that's amazing. Even the music cue, it's, oh my God!
It's really good. He's out there chopping the wood.
Yes!
And he walks up to the house.
He's making eggs!
He's like, Kirk. James. Kirk, you know, I don't know why. But anyways,
I will eat your eggs.
First, Kirk. Yeah, exactly. But when First Contact did, it was such a dynamic change. Maybe it was going from Generations to First Contact.
Yeah.
How much of a just like an overall encompassing story Generations was, you know, it spans
Generations.
There you go. But and how linear and yet well done with the tide traveling and everything like that. It's just I really like. Start to finish, First Contact is just and a solid.
First Contact had some very subtle moments.
Right.
Had some hilarious moments. Had some edge of your seat moments. Action was well done in it.
It was
action in 3D space that was choreographed well. Unlike, and I love Wrath of Khan, the battle, that was horrible. Yeah. Let's fly at them sideways.
And I love Wrath of Khan.
It's a great movie, but it's like no one knows how to do 3D.
You want to talk about an overactor, the guy who was Khan.
Oh, like Montalban?
I love it, though. But he's a little over
that.
That
was not a chest piece.
I'm sorry?
That was 100% Montalban. Those pecs?
That was CGI.
No. Montalban.
But anyways, that's the only other movie that I think from start to finish, like, that's just that solid. But
then he followed it up with a piece of shit that was Insurrection.
I've never watched Insurrection, truthfully. Like, it's a bad
episode. It's an episode that just lasted too long.
It's a fun. It's the opposite of First Contact.
Right. I've seen the beginning part of it where Data's hidden on the planet that's not actually a planet. It's like an enclosed society and everything. We watched the beginning for a
duck hunt. Yeah,
blind.
Blind. I would have liked to see him pranks too. Nemesis as well.
I like Nemesis. I thought Nemesis was pretty good.
Vain.
What's your problem with Nemesis now?
I was just sad. It just made me sad.
Because of Data?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see it. But it was a good movie. I thought it was
But that movie didn't have the hope, the optimism, the joy, the camaraderie. Outside of Data and Worf and Picard singing at the beginning, there wasn't a lot of highlights to that movie.
Director didn't know it.
Yeah. What do you mean?
He didn't respect the material. Yeah. He didn't understand. That's why I'm saying you need somebody who respects Star Wars but who isn't a fanboy.
That's tough.
Somebody
to do.
Who knows what's expected out of the film.
So you're talking about someone who just watched the first three Star Wars movies and hold on, and watched the third one and goes, that's not respecting the original thing, and says, I'm going to do this better, basically, than what they did in the last one. I'm going to make it pay a tribute, but yet be different on the new ones.
I don't want somebody egotistical who says, I'm going to do this better, but somebody who looks back at the history and treats it accordingly. Not somebody who comes in and says, I'm going to
turn this bitch on its head. So you're saying more of a film aficionado than like somebody who just recognizes good cinema.
Somebody with the intelligence of Scorsese.
If you were to...
That'd be tough. That's a tough director to find, too. Yeah. You think Franks is that guy?
If you were to do a comic book, let's say Fantastic Four,
okay,
you have the option of either A, writing your Fantastic Four, or B, writing Fantastic Four.
Writing the Fantastic
right.
Four.
Right.
Hold on. Declare, like, what do you mean?
Meaning, you don't come in and say, Sue, Johnny, and Ben, and Reed,
so you don't,
just because this is what I would do.
I'm changing the costumes, Johnny's out, I'm going to replace him with this chick who, she makes icicles come out of her nipples. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
That's my Fantastic Four.
There you go, this is the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
This is the
Instead of World's Greatest Comic Magazine, it's called Big Fucking Dick, right there on the top.
Are you talking like this is Brandon Cho, Jim Lee, Fantastic Four?
They with huge balls, and they're like, we're changing the Fantastic Four.
They're not the ones who did the Onslaught saga to make it happen. So.
So I'm saying that's the
thing. Okay. Respectful. And like Jonathan Frakes, he did all those TV shows. You can't look at an episode and say, oh, Jonathan Frakes did.
Right.
He changed this, he changed that.
See, actually,
it serves the story. Serve the story.
Good.
Some directors, I can tell, on TV shows. Janot Schwartz, who did Somewhere in Time and Supergirl,
mm-hmm.
whenever he did a Smallville episode, beginning episode, before he even got to the director, I said, this is a Janot Schwartz episode.
What stood out about it? Like, was it the lighting. Way they opened? Lighting?
Lighting.
Wow.
That's good. Now,
well, no, you can tell lighting of Joel Schumacher.
Yes,
and, too.
Because he does 3-point theater lighting. What'd you say, Spielberg?
Spielberg was a cinematographer, whatever his name is.
You said there's always a bright spot.
Janusz, whatever his name is.
That's the guy from Ghostbusters? Where are you from, Yanni? Where the hell are you from, Yanni? The upper west side?
What's Ivan Reitman doing?
Okay, so we should wrap this up.
I'm having fun.
I'm prepared to talk for another 6.5 hours.
No, I don't know about that, but we could talk for another half hour.
It's 9:30.
Okay, we can talk a little bit. Sorry, my apologies.
I told you, 10 o'clock. I'm good till 10.
It's no editing. Actually, let's seriously take like a minute pause. Let me check the audio file.
Okay.
And then we'll be right back.
Well, hey there, pilgrims. Won't you head on over to justinwasson.com? Check out some Gemini serials, whack comics, little guy, and hell, you can even find some other copies of these great podcasts. That's justinwasson.com.
All right, we're back, sort of. We weren't supposed to take a break, but we did because...
We all get thirsty.
Yeah, I guess so.
It was a drink break.
So what do you want to talk about, Bruce? Let's talk about directors.
Let's talk about who Rutger Hauer can play.
Oh, wait, John Williams. You think he should do the music?
Yeah.
It's really hard to imagine Star Wars without John Williams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, he's the one... Like, have you ever watched the rough trailer before when Star Wars, like, first was going in the theaters before it had any kind of music or music?
Did they just reuse the score to glory like every other movie does?
No, well, yeah, I know, right? No, it's literally just like this in the background.
It's a drone?
Kind of. You know what I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just a very low, like just...
That's a drone.
Yeah, it's just that. And no, hardly any special effects at all. And it just says, coming to a galaxy near you soon. And then something blows up at the end. You watch it. If you watch that trailer... You're like, this is going to be the biggest piece of shit. Like, Flash Gordon is going to be way better than this movie.
They made another Flash Gordon movie.
Yeah. That's on, like, if you watch it, and it's like, and then you watch the trailer with, like, John Williams using it, you're like, this movie got infinitely better.
Well, I'm concerned about the new Superman. Are they going to use the Superman theme?
No.
That's disappointing. That's iconic.
Yeah, he said he's not doing it.
Who? They might have somebody.
Zack Snyder said he's not doing it.
No, John Williams.
It's
Hans Zimmer.
Hans Zimmer, yeah.
Hans Zimmer. But you have to have that Superman theme in it.
No,
isn't it John Williams who did the original theme though?
Yeah, but they say they want to get away from it. They don't want to.
Well, because
they can't get away with it.
Well, I understand the reason that they want to. There was so much backlash on trying to keep things tied to the original Superman. I know what you're going to say, and I understand that. I still think the music, but I could see the studio saying, we want to distance ourselves from as far away as possible because people don't want to have to watch a movie from 70-something anymore.
And TV shows.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That was the problem.
Video games, cartoons, TV shows. That's the music cue.
They used it in Smallville. Trust me.
Okay.
Let's change the
sound of lightsabers. They now go...
It's Zoidberg.
How can you get rid of that?
How do we reference Zoidberg in every episode anymore?
But in defense of Hans Zimmer and assholes everywhere, I was upset that they weren't continuing Danny Elfman's Batman theme.
For Batman
Begins and Dark Knight.
Oh wait, no, they didn't continue in Forever's.
That movie doesn't exist.
And Robin.
That.
No, I mean, I remember the composer being interviewed under him tonight, and he said, "I'm not doing the."
Those are two completely different movies.
Yeah, those are movies that no one's ever going to go back and watch. Those are the movies that when you buy the box set, you throw them away.
I love them.
What is?
I can't. Like Batman Forever, I went and saw the theater. I remember loving it when I was a kid, and I've tried watching it recently. And I'm like,
was that the Poison Ivy, Mr. Freeze?
No, that was the one.
Two-Face. I'm so shortchanged.
So, but then I've watched Batman and Robin, and Batman and Robin's. I'm sorry, Justin. I know you like it, but it's really tough for me to try to sit there.
That's the Mr. Freeze Poison Ivy.
Yes,
they want to.
Everybody, chill.
Oh God, I wanted to.
Now I like the puns.
No,
but my Mr. Freeze is sickly and gaunt and intelligent.
Paul Dini is responsible, and Bruce Timm are responsible for making Mr. Freeze a good character.
Mike Mignola did the design.
That's fine too. anytime you throw Mike McDonald, you know what? Atlantis has become one of my favorite Disney films because Mike McDonald's name is attached to that now. I'm not joking. It's a really good movie, too, by the way.
Star Wars.
Yeah, so, yeah, I saw Harry Potter. What did he quit on? Four?
Was that his? Three or four, yeah.
Three or four? There's a difference. It's silly, but you could tell there's a difference.
But it didn't affect the movie as much as it did. Then I think it would have.
After, like, another movie, I got over it. And I just didn't care about listening to music. But, yeah, I really like listening to his music. I'm a big John Williams nerd.
Yeah.
And when I knew he left and I saw the next movie, they kept a couple of his cues. And they still did in the last couple movies. But, really, I just didn't care about the music anymore.
In Harry Potter?
Yeah. No
right. But you own the couple Harry Potter soundtracks that he actually did, right? This is... I remember that you used to sing, like, Something Wicked This Way Comes or whatever. Yeah, you used to sing that song all the time as well.
That's number three.
I think you have to have John Williams do it. Here's an even more important, and this relates to you two lovely gentlemen. Mm. Does Drew Streisand still do the artwork for the posters?
I thought he retired.
He did retire, but he did do the Walking Dead cover.
He did.
Which is post-retirement.
The non-Streisand cover I remember, and this is from...
Is it Streisand or Streisand?
Streisand.
Streisand.
The non-Streisand cover I remember from one was that shot of Anakin walking in his shadows.
That wasn't, but that was like a just
that was,
like
that was live act.
I hated that
with his Darth Vader.
Yeah, I remember seeing it, and I'm like, "What happened to the nice fancy drawings? Where did the pretty colored pencil?"
They did a teaser. They did a lot. They did a photo teaser poster for every, and then they got to the.
I just remember when I saw it, I thought, "Well, the world's wrong."
Uh-huh. And Drew Streisand did do all three posters.
Yeah, but did. He did.
I'm saying the one time they tried to go without him,
right?
I was confused and shocked.
Well, they went with him in episode one. He did the episode, and then episode two, they started muddling with him. In episode three, they pissed him off.
Yeah.
They changed.
They edited his
work. They edited his work, yeah.
I mean, Drew Streisand's work.
Yeah, they got a whole book at the library. I have it at home right now where they took this Vader and he had a certain way and they said, well, do it separately too. So he did it separately. And they just put the big Vader in back.
Right.
And he said, it's all off now. The balance is all off.
Yeah.
And he said that his conversation with Lucas, the first one were together, and then the second one
company was got more too
company, that, and then the third one he was never talking to Lucas.
Because of stories like that, that takes me back to my whole, the ship doesn't jive with the housing, which doesn't jive with the alien. I don't think that the right people were talked to by the correct other people. I don't think anyone was communicating clearly.
You think somebody was saying, hey, George, we got this thing over here, and he said, that looks good. And somebody ran back down the hallway and said, oh, George says this is okay, and they had their own.
Yeah. Hey, you come up with the ships, and then somebody 1,000 miles away is going to come up with the planet they're on, and then you know somebody 2,000 miles away is coming up with people who are just driving
the ships.
See,
I got ILM and Lucas and Skywalker Sound. They're all like in the same area.
Maybe they just weren't allowed to talk to each other. I don't know.
Huh. Interesting.
But I think there was a lack of communication, and maybe since Disney's running it, there'll be smoother communication.
Would you also say the way, if you go on that thinking, and you would say that more people were muddled between communications or anything like that, wouldn't you almost say that's a parallel to George Lucas's departure from Star Wars with it not being independent anymore? Like, would you almost say, like, there's just too much politicking involved? Maybe that's his problem, is there's just too much politicking amongst trying to get the film
and
done.
And maybe a lot of yes men who
possibly
thought things were crap but didn't say anything.
Hmm.
Because 3, 4, and 5, he had some oversight. People were saying, well, 4, 5, and 6.
Four.
For sure.
He had
Fox.
I can't think of the guy's name. No,
I know what you're talking about.
George.
I know what you're talking about. I can't think of his name.
He's on the bottom of the poster.
Never.
Yeah, and he was...
Even I always talk about Warren Ellis. Warren Ellis is an amazing comic book writer when his books are edited. When he's doing creator-owned stuff and there's no one breathing down his neck saying, does that make any sense? Does that make any sense? It's shit. You can't read it. Ideas go nowhere. Plot lines are left dangling. But if you have somebody overseeing something who isn't in love with the content, who just, like I was saying about Jonathan Frakes, who respects it and wants to see it done well, an overseer. You need somebody like that. In the comic books, it's an editor. Now, what's the equivalent of that in movies? Is that an executive producer?
Or don't they have story editors?
Story editors?
With
story editors.
What is? cinematographer, something like that, right? Like, that's something to do. I don't know. You're the one in TV. You would know this one. You have an editor, right?
Well, they already have a writer.
An editor edits.
Right.
They already have a writer, and he writes one of your kids, your son's favorite movies.
Toy Story 2?
Three. Okay. Yeah, the writer for Toy Story 3 is the writer.
Right, I know. And I think based on the body of work that I've seen this guy do, I think he can...
What
right
else
have
you done before Toy Story 3?
He's got like three or four things that he's done, and it's actually pretty solid work, from what I recall. But anyways, go on with your thought.
Yeah, I want there to be like a... In television, it's a producer.
Okay.
Who's behind the scenes and make sure everyone communicates.
And then it's got to be the producer still, because executive producer just says, we're writing the check, make this right.
Executive producer is like something they give to you because they owe you a lot of money to keep it.
Right.
That's why Hugh Laurie became the executive producer of House in the later season, so they could keep him around, and he gets more of the back end. But they need a good producer, somebody to keep the trains running on time.
It's Michael Arndt, right? Is it a screenplay? Andrew Staten, is that it?
No, it's not Andrew Staten. That's the guy who did John Carter.
Lee.
What are you talking about?
It's not Lee Majors either. That was a $6 million man.
Who's the guy who directed Star Wars, correct? Or writing Star Wars, correct?
I think he just wrote Toy Story 3.
Yeah. I thought he wrote Toy Story 2.
No, it's Toy Story.
Because I thought they said, yeah, he's done the middle chapters of stories before.
So it says the story by John Lasseter, Andrew Staten, and Lee Unkrich, and then screenplay by Michael Arndt, A-R-N-D.
Yeah, it's probably him.
But that's what I thought. And then, Little Miss Sunshine was his other movie that he did.
I liked that movie.
See, and I know a lot of people, you're talking about a guy who understands, and hold on, there was something else that I thought he...
Doing something like Little Miss Sunshine, which... Mm-hmm. Was independent. He was able to do whatever the hell he wanted, and it made sense. Everything flowed. And then going to a major franchise.
No, he's got other things involved.
Like Toy Story.
He's doing the screenplay for the next Hunger Games movie. He's doing the screenplay for Oblivion. He's doing a screenplay for a Phineas and Ferb movie. That pretty much just pumps you up right for Toy Story.
That may be his inside work with Disney.
Probably. I love Phineas and Ferb, so it's good stuff. But yeah, I think it'd be interesting to see what he could do.
What would Justin? Hmm. What would you do in the next trilogy? What's the story you would like to see told?
I would like to. I don't want to see it become cameo world.
Yeah,
I don't mind seeing some of the original people. You know,
but you don't need to see them every 20 minutes.
Not Circus of the Stars in space.
Yeah, right. I don't need to become
in space.
Yeah, it's mad world. Whatever, you know, whatever it is. I would rather focus on. You know, some new
What's story. The story you want to see told? What would you do?
Got to be a foil, so I guess it would have to be.
You're talking about like there's a part where this looks good, and the second one you're like this looks really bad, and the third one there's a good ending.
I don't know if I would even try to focus on 1, 2, and 3 just as in one.
Go Lord of the Rings kind of ish where you're like.
You guys are talking about structure. I'm just talking about the story.
I would
have blank do blank to blank, and blank would happen.
I feel like you just cussed every time you just said blank.
Maybe I'll go first.
Yeah, you go first.
I would like to see the repopulation of the Jedis.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see...
Is it already repopulated?
Well, no. Maybe Luke goes around and recruits other Jedis. I don't know. I want to see the Jedi Council be reformed.
So like Rebirth of the Jedi kind of?
Yes.
Not
that's the subtitle.
Right, sure.
Star Wars 7.
Rebirth of the Jedi.
Afterbirth of the Jedi.
Afterbirth
of the Empire is the second one.
I think that needs to happen. Uh-huh. And maybe there's corruption from within this, you know.
A new Sith.
Well, maybe because...
There's got to be a balance.
Let's say that Luke was the last Jedi and then the Emperor was the last. And Emperor and Vader were the last Sith. If Luke's going around rebuilding the Jedi, maybe one of his Jedi turn on him and become
the new Emperor.
The new Sith.
Right. There's always two Sith. Master and
Apprentice. Whichever. Well, there's one before the other. It's a chicken and egg thing. There can't just always be two.
Yes.
Luke falls too.
I don't know, but I mean that's what I see. Mm-hmm. What do you see?
I know the two storylines that, and I know we don't like to talk about the expanded universe, but the two storylines that a lot of people like, there's one from the comics, which is the one where Luke does go bad because the Emperor was cloned several times, and he's still out there, basically, running amok, you know, with it. The other one is the Thrawn trilogy by Timothy Zahn. And
that would not be a boring movie, because it's a lot of people standing on the bridges of ships.
It's a good book, though.
But there's a lot of just thinking.
It's a book.
I know, that would make a horrible movie.
But there's ways to speed that process up, I think.
It's Nicolas Cage is throwing or whatever, and he's just going, for 20 minutes.
It's a good book. I enjoyed the book. I think there's things you, there's certain ways you can take, like, who takes an actual book and says, we're going to copy this shit page for page? Nobody does that. They'd be like, we're going to show inner monologue on every aspect level. That would be awful.
Another problem with Thrawn is that he should have popped up in the movies by now, too. Because he was supposed to be, sixth person separated from the Emperor.
But I think the whole thing is that he was removed from it because of he was dominating some other part of the galaxy.
Well, he wasn't human or whatever they call
it. Well, something that I wouldn't mind seeing.
And the Emperor was racist.
Yeah, that's kind of what it was.
That they did do in the comic books. And I'm not saying it has to be these characters.
Yeah.
But in the comic books later on, apparently in the history, there's some kind of outside...
No, that was in the books. You're talking about the...
Plant people?
Yeah, exactly. I know what you're talking about. From the New Jedi Order stuff or whatever.
I don't know about... Like I said, I don't read about saying that. There was such a... I mean, if you think of... I guess as the Star Wars universe is our Milky Way galaxy.
Yeah.
There was something from another galaxy.
An invasion.
Yeah.
An invasion. Something...
Annihilation with...
Yeah, something that comes and attacks them.
Yeah.
Sets things off.
That would force them to work together.
You know, it can't be... because I mean,
you don't want a repeat of what?
I mean, the one, 4, 5, and 6, it's a rebellion,
yeah.
And then 1, 2, and 3 is very political. It's very much about lies and deceit and over
shadow games and stuff like that.
Yeah, and
for kids,
calm down.
And I mean, I like that.
Sip your haterade for a second and just let it talk.
I like the aspect about I like the political nature of 1, 2, and 3. But I wouldn't want to see that again.
No. You want to see something unique.
Yeah, I want to see something different. I want to see something that, but still fits within the, you know, still with enough. I would like to see hyperspace, again, from hyperspace point of view. It wasn't in 1, 2, and 3. That always bothered me.
Were they actually flying?
Yeah, they've been in Clone Wars a lot, and that makes me happy.
I always liked it with the stars going around there.
Yeah.
And then in Family Guy, they're like, man, space looks so weird. It's the Doctor Who intro. That made me laugh when I first saw that.
Yeah, so I like an invasion. Would be interesting, but it doesn't have to be that people that can just
That would be tricky because you'd have to establish your characters and then displace them due to the invasion, mm-hmm. have them defeat these invaders, and then come back together in the end.
Well, if you're looking at a trilogy, one is the setup. There's got to be some kind of if you look at it that way. What you're talking about is one is I don't want to say one. You want to just use that as an establishing movie because they've proven in the long run that doesn't. But there's got to be something that establishes, and there's some kind of immediate turmoil.
Well, you got to put your pieces on the board,
and then
then you start the game,
right? And so, and then at the end of the first movie, you reveal that this is a bigger problem. You know what I mean? And we got to be ready for this. And then the second one, ping, shit hits the fan, and then third movie,
Luke talks to Qui-Gon. Where the hell have you been?
I don't know.
I've been watching you, though.
I was semen when you were...
A lot. That thing with your sister?
Awkward!
I would like to see... If you're going to have Mark Hamill in the movie, though, starting the Jedi Order and just having him as, the Grandmaster or the whatever you want to call him.
Well, have him
he's the Yoda.
He's the Yoda.
What was the Conan movies that never happened? Where it's Schwarzenegger and he's old and he's sitting there on the pile of thrones? Is that what it is?
I think they're finally going to make those, yeah.
Are they finally? Okay, but it's like Mark Hamill's
he's just there for insight and whatnot.
He's like a good emperor.
Right.
You know, he's haggard and beaten, and maybe he's missing both hands now or whatever.
And they're like, Luke, we have a problem. Oh, jeez.
You know, and he's
Nick Nolte on a drunken Sunday.
Because he wears all black, maybe he's got the hood on and whatever. But he's a good guy, maybe.
I mean, I really like that about 1, 2, especially 2 and 3. Is that the Jedi's have no idea that they're helping the bad guys. No one has any idea they're helping. Everyone's helping the bad guys.
They're the least intelligent people in the known universe.
Everyone's helping one person, and that's Palpatine.
Right.
Palpatine strings everyone along and then dumps on them.
Just looks evil.
He dumps on the...
He does look evil.
He dumps on the droids. He dumps on the Trade Federation.
Yeah.
He dumps on the Jedi.
You just reminded me of one of my favorite things from the Lego Star Wars movie, The Padawan Menace, where the Emperor rises up out of the floor, and he's got, he's just the Supreme Chancellor, and he's got his hood up, and everybody goes, oh, it's a Sith! He's like, oh, just me! And everybody's like, oh, he's like, yeah! And they're like, ah! And then he pulls it back out, he's like, oh, we're good.
Are the clones in these movies? The stormtroopers, now that they're unemployed, essentially?
They would be like,
or yeah. Do they just bow down to whoever's in charge next?
They just want a paycheck, I think.
No,
I
do
think
they want a paycheck?
Clones have a...
Do they have independent thought?
They also have a advanced lifespan.
Right.
Is that still? I mean, I think it's still accelerated.
So, like, they're aging rapidly? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, they do age rapidly.
When you say advanced, I thought...
So, they're disposable.
Boba Fett is the only one with a...
A normal age.
Normal lifespan. Okay. Yeah, normal lifespan. So, I would think that anyone in the Clone Wars...
Now, there's an interesting story. What do you think about, like, kind of like a Bounty Hunter's Rebellion or something like that? Or you think that's pushing it too much?
You don't want to overcool the movie.
Overcool? You think too many badasses walking around with blasters taking out Jedis and that thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because then you're going to get the Expendables in space.
I guess so. If that movie hadn't been made, it's so badass and you know it. Nothing better than Bossk and Boba Fett running around with Sukus in the background and everything. With a respirator on and everything.
Who was the guy with
doing drive-bys on Jedi?
The bloody turban wrapped around part of
Dengar.
His head. God.
Dengar was awesome.
He was not.
Did you read the bounty?
Yeah, I know his backstory. He's got crystals in his brain and all that.
No.
He hit Han Solo and all that. But when as a child, when you see him, I'm thinking to myself, somebody beat the shit out of him before he showed up.
He's like...
Lando just was wailing on him in the hall.
Clone Wars, I think, too.
Dengar?
Yeah,
he was in.
They were all in the prison, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
I looked him up on the Wikipedia.
That's a clever name, by the way.
And honestly, as a child seeing him, I thought, wow, that guy must have like gotten a car crash or something on the way to this bounty hunter convention.
And Mark Hamill.
They were out partying.
Is that too soon? No, it's been like 30 years of Denmark.
No, I think it'd be cool to have Luke. I mean, darker.
Yeah.
Do you think he should be the evil guy, or does that seem like it's too predictable?
I didn't say evil. Yeah, I
wouldn't make him the bad guy. I think he would be the one that gets betrayed, and maybe he gets killed at the end. That's how the first movie ends. It's his two star pupils, and one of them cuts him in half, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm with the invading aliens. Waka waka! Fade to black.
Do you think that's a bad story, or are you being serious?
No, I'm being serious, but I mean, the waka waka is not serious.
Well, obviously, the way you said it, you made it sound like, this is predictable, Reddick, here you go.
No, but I mean, that's what I would do.
Right. There's got to be something bigger.
Luke rebuilds the Jedi Council, and there's this thread of something from beyond, and maybe you mentioned Thrawn.
No,
maybe the movie's not about him, but it's like, you know, there's a lot of the Empire's still out there functioning.
Right.
We need to be cautious about this. That's why we need to rebuild the Jedi Council as soon as possible. And because they're in such a hurry, they make dumb shit decisions like Jedis often do, and they end up cultivating their own Sith.
Well, they established in the prequels is that there's a balance, there's a delicate balance. You can't have 150 Jedis and not expect to have, like the Sith haven't been around for a millennia. No, they've been there. Yeah. They've been trying to get to the right moment, taken a thousand years to move pieces around.
It's like you said about there must always be two.
Right.
So Luke is clearly going to have more than two students under him.
Yes.
If he's going to repopulate the council.
Correct.
I think it's already been repopulated by this time.
By 20 years?
Yeah.
You have like the Jedi Council opening.
Is there a scroll? Is there a scroll at the beginning?
A scroll?
Crawl?
A scroll. Is there a crawl? I said scroll.
Okay.
But is there a crawl at the beginning?
In the last 20 years, Luke Skywalker has scoured the universe looking for children born with midichlorians in their body. These are the tales of those kids as they pass through the academy and...
How did this go?
Head out into space. Dear children, I am the Sarlacc.
How did you get mutated chlorine, Adam, by the way?
I don't know.
Meta chlorines?
But
meta, as in like...
Because I didn't respect it, so I never looked up how to spell it or say it. But I came right there in that gibberish, I came up with a brilliant idea. The entire... What, the nine trillion, whatever. All nine movies was the Sarlacc telling a bedtime story to Boba Fett as he digested his
bed. He was way up out of there.
And here's what happened after.
He threw a concussion grenade and he blew it up and he shot out.
No, but they could taste. They could have like a backstory in the thing. Maybe there's some hollow ram or something. The kids are watching, and that could even have you be Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Cameo.
Well, I mean, you guys don't know Farscape, but the comic book ended with the son of the main character. The story was him telling the story of his dad.
Do you think there's too much of that though? Like, I feel like you constantly get to the end of the thing and be like, and this is the story of how these people became. Like, I feel like I see that a lot in stuff.
I don't know.
Hmm?
Planet of the Apes did that.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. Like,
I'm not so alone.
Okay. So what we come to realize is that the next trilogy has its work cut out for it, and they need to definitely pull out their Wikipedias and just start going to town on it.
I think their options are rather limited.
You think so?
Yes.
Without making themselves too predictable, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Their option. I mean, they have to fulfill what we all want to see.
There's way too much to want to see, though, is the problem.
I don't think so.
I think there is.
I think we all have very specific expectations.
I think everybody has their own specific expectations.
At least one dude with a sword. Sweet ship, guy with a blaster. There's a lady. There's some planets. Shit happens. It's sweet. And there's some wipes.
And hold on. And then the lifting of that. You're talking about all the cutscenes.
Yes, yeah. Maybe Irish to the credits.
Don't forget the parade standing around at the end of the film too, where people are celebrating each other.
Will there be celebrations at the end of every movie?
Did I just drop a bomb on your head?
Will characters get medals?
No.
I don't know. What, Justin, you're the...
He's the expert? Is that what you're about to say?
Yeah, I was, because he's the most Star Wars-y guy I know. He defends it to the
bitter end. You know, he's the most technological Star Wars guy I know.
Yeah, Mike may know the...
What TIE Fighter stands
for. Yeah.
Twin Ion Engine.
Yeah, I don't...
It's the NCOM T-65's next one.
I'm a Star Trek guy.
I know.
The
NC-17-whatever, you know, 1701-ABCDEFG. Look, I can do the alphabet too. It's pretty easy if you ask me.
I really hope there's something so different that it ticks off episode 1 through 3 fans. That just like episode 1 through 3 ticked off a lot of
keeping in the tradition of alienating our audience.
No,
Hindi musical.
I think there's a good reason for it, and that's because had episodes 1 through 3 been episodes 4 through 6, people would have said, "This is boring." You know, more so than they said, "This is boring. Why am I watching the exact same movie?"
I think 1, 2, and 3 was just marketed incorrectly. If going into it, I would have known the movie wasn't for me, then I wouldn't have seen. But they banked on the fact that I'd spent a majority of my life looking up to those characters.
But those characters weren't in the movie.
I know.
Technically. Yeah, no, I guess all of Obi-Wan.
Most of them.
Yeah, I guess Obi-Wan and C-3PO.
The biggest thing that disappointed me about 1, 2, and 3, Millennium Falcon was not in it whatsoever. It's a freaking piece of equipment. How hard would it have been to just be a little... How was it in 2?
Tatooine... Anakin and Batman come down. There's a...
Anakin and Batman come down?
No, Batman.
I thought you said Batman.
Yeah, it's going to sound like Batman.
Like, shit, I missed so much of
this. Did you know that's actually a modified Corellian Corvette? That's what that's called. It's a modified Corellian Corvette.
It's Lando's people.
What? No. Han Solo is a Corellian. Lando is not a Corellian.
He's not a Corellian.
The Millennium Falcon has been a bargain chip, or has been a pawn chip in anybody's game of whatever space cards that they play, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It has probably been passed. Han is probably the fifth person.
Couldn't it have been in the prequel so easily? And you'd have been like, oh shit, look at that, yeah!
Well, it was in the
prequel. I'm talking about little...
Are you saying you're saying in episode 1 on Tatooine, when Anakin walks by, he's like, oh dude, that's a cool ship, what do you call it? That's the Millennium Falcon, pretty sweet.
Maybe not something as obvious as that.
But that's what you're kind of saying, though. Well, you're saying a way to draw attention to
I'm
it,
saying
though.
Fan service is the what three I'm saying.
Had, you three want had, a hand job is what you want.
Yes.
Three had the Republic, the cruiser that was in 4.
Yeah.
Three the ends one. On the ship that begins with 4.
It's actually a blockade runner, but we'll let you go with it.
My apologies.
That's an actual Pirelli and Corvette.
I just wanted fan service. Like, you guys have both seen First Class.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm very excited about the sequel.
The helmet, Magneto's helmet.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, cool. You know, I've seen that in a thousand other things.
Right.
Wolverine thing, to a degree. Maybe it was a little too obvious, but it's like...
Oh, that was hilarious. That's
cool.
Yeah, that made me laugh.
If they would have... I'm not saying, like, there's a little kid running around in a black vest, you know?
Hey there, Ian. Actually, it's Han.
What's going to be my ship when I grow up? Hell yeah. You know, nothing like that, but just...
Why was Han a Jar Jar?
I know, because that's my child voice. But...
wow.
I want to see things I like.
You're talking about making a delicate balance of something original, but yet giving you a hand job in the middle of the movie. Yes. That's a tough thing to do without being too hokey.
But it's been done before.
If it's done right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times that's done
wrong. Let's put some time into it, people. Let's make it worth the billions of dollars it's going to make.
They're not going to put time into it. They've got to get it out. They've already said...
Oh, they gave it a date. If it goes to January 1st, 2016, people will riot the streets.
No,
I don't know.
It won't be the first movie that's ever been pushed back.
But it's Star Wars. And Star Wars, once they give a date, it's generally...
Were the prequels on time?
Yeah.
They changed...
like a month.
The release date by a couple of days.
Yeah. But not. We're not talking about delaying them. The one thing you do with Star Wars... is it's released in May of the year that you're telling it. That's the way it's always been.
May the 4th.
I know. But it's that's part of the reason why it's kind of come to that, because every May...
May 25th and the 21st. May
25th. May 19th. It's always in mid to late May. That's a staple of Star Wars. So you better bet that people have looked at their phones... like I'm going to do it right now.
You've scheduled something.
No, I've not scheduled anything. I didn't even think about this until right now. And I'm going to go to...
Star Wars ticket.
I would like to pre-order my Star Wars ticket today, please.
I'm going to put this as a reminder.
Hello, Hollywood.com.
Sure, here you go. Where'd you sell those episode 7 tickets?
May 15th, May 22nd, and May 29th. If the movie's not on one of those 3 days, people are going to be pissed.
What are the days again?
15th, 22nd, and the 29th.
What's the second one?
22nd.
Yes.
So May 22nd,
yes.
Justin's saying that this movie will be out. Mm-hmm. If it's not, people will be apeshit crazy.
Wait,
if you release the movie...
What is that, Friday?
Yeah.
No.
That's a third. If you go Thursday to Friday night, though,
Trust me. I wish it was Friday the 22nd, but it's not going to be.
Because it's your birthday?
Yeah, they're releasing on Wednesdays.
Okay. So, would that be the 20th then?
That's how numbers work.
Right. Okay, so you're saying May 20th this movie will be out?
If they go in 2015, yeah.
All right.
Unless you're talking about Tuesday night. Wednesday morning.
But that's still it's still.
That would be the...
Yeah, no, it's still the 20th. Yeah. When you hit midnight.
Yeah. You can't just pick an arbitrary date and say it's going to be done by then.
But if you say the movie's going to be done like that, you're breaking tradition. If you're saying that you want to keep with what made Star Wars great and everything like that, there is to that part of the year.
Okay.
That's like the kickoff to the summer.
I'd rather it be good than on time.
You're right, but at the same point in time, you're talking about servicing fans, and that's a service to the fans.
Okay.
For producing product.
I was not aware of the May thing. I'm not a Star Wars guy.
I know. You said it 1,000 times about this podcast that you were not a Star Wars guy. Even though you seem to have a strong passion for the original trilogy.
I have a passion for anything that I'm aware of. I mean, I will debate like the first 4 seasons of ER with you if you want.
We don't need to do that.
Okay, that's just saying.
Cool. As we talk about Star Wars.
okay. I'll be happy with 22nd.
I think we've reached a limit here.
Yeah.
What we basically realize is that this is a big deal, and they have a lot of work cut out for them. It's they have to work in a limited time frame that they've given themselves with limited possibilities.
We can only hope Jonathan Frakes now gets...
Yeah.
Thanks to Bruce's suggestion.
So start your online positions today. Jonathan Frakes for Star Wars. Petition. Did I say position?
Get in your online position.
To sign that petition.
Get in the missionary position to sign the petition. So, all right. So until next time.
BruceLeHughes.com, JustinWasson.com.
Or on Facebook. Justin Wasson, Facebook.
We have a Twitter.
We do tweet.
Breakings.
Yep. I don't have our Twitter info, or I would be blowing that up like I have our Facebook page.
Facebook breakings.
That's right.
Justin's working on some stuff. I'm working on some stuff.
Mike's hoping to work on stuff.
Mike's getting ready to get kicked out of the family. And Justin better get off his ass. see you all on the internet. Bye. Goodbye.